I never really like it when people answer my questions in this specific way, but if I'm really being honest with myself, I have to admit that I answer people's question this way all the time. Maybe you do too. Things usually go like this. Hey, how you guys doing? Oh, we've been super busy. Right? Hey, how's summer going? Oh, summer's busy. Hey, it's so good to see you guys. Oh, I know. We've just been so busy, right? And then we don't even have to ask the question, right? We just assume we know what's going on. We know the answer. We say, hey, you guys been super busy this summer? Or we say, hey, we should get together. I actually just got an email this week from someone that said, hey, we should get together, but no rush. I know you're busy, right? It's like, how do you know that I'm busy? I didn't even say anything to you yet. But right, everyone is busy. That's how they know, because everybody is busy all the time. It's been a busy day. It's been a busy week. It's been a busy year. Every season of the year is now busy too. You try to, you know, plan things for a young, growing church with a team full of people, and the conversation is hilarious. Well, fall is busy because we're all going back to school. And then, well, winter is really gets difficult because Christmas takes over like 2 months of our lives. And then, well, spring, that's kind of tough because of this one day called graduations that means we don't have a free weekend for the rest of our lives. And then, well, summer is really pretty busy too because it's the only 2 months out of the year when it's even remotely enjoyable to live in the state of Wisconsin, right? Everyone's always busy, always, all the time. And church people, right? You and I, for those of us that are, you know, church people, we're no different. We're busy all the time, just like all the rest. And so here's the deal, right? If you sit back and if you just observe the pace that followers of Jesus live their lives, just checking things out, you might start to assume that they're carrying out direct orders from Jesus himself. You might think this is like the 11th commandment that he gave to us, thou shalt always remain busy. If you watch, right? We don't stop. Our schedules never let up, and our social media posts, they document our busy lives with phrases and hashtags like this. Gotta keep grinding. Can't stop, won't stop, getting after it. Gotta stay ahead of the rest. The early bird gets the worm. Okay, that one's a little lame, right? That one's kind of old, but if you've heard it, you know what someone's referring to. Then we spiritualize it. Well, the devil doesn't sleep, so neither will I. Right? And this is how we live our lives. And sadly, sometimes I think we pride ourselves on how busy our lives are, like it's some kind of badge of honor, like we're trying to win some kind of spitting match. And now for those of you who would consider yourselves followers of Jesus, and if this isn't you yet, if you don't consider yourself a real follower of Jesus yet, then you can choose whether or not this means anything to you or not. But for those of us that do follow Jesus, I need you to know something about all of that. I need you to know something about all the talk, you know, that we, you know, do about the pace of, you know, life that we live. There's something I need you to know about all that talk, about that pace that we live our lives. It all falls into a category titled, Jesus Never Said That. And that happens to be the title of the message series that we are currently in here at Midcurrent. It's week number 2 in this series, and so I'm glad you could be here for it. If you're new, an extra special welcome to you. My name is Sten. I'm the pastor here, and if we hadn't had a chance to meet yet, I'm sorry about that. I'd really love to meet you. It just happens on Sunday mornings here at church. I usually tend to be pretty busy. Just kidding. That was a joke, right? Not too busy. Not too busy. And that's a little bit of what I want to talk about this morning. Because despite what we see, or despite what we experience, despite how we live our lives, Jesus never said himself, I'm tired, but I got to keep grinding. People are counting on me. Right? Jesus never said, blessed are those who hustle every day and build big bank accounts and big businesses and retire by the age 35. He never said, come follow me and outwork and outshine all the rest. For only those who work a 60-plus hour work week every work week will inherit the kingdom of God. He never said life is about doing and producing and performing. So make sure that every time somebody asks you how you're doing, you can prove that you are busy. And I know I'm exaggerating a little bit with this. And put like this, it sounds a little ridiculous. It's easy for us to kind of, you know, say, ah, that's just, you know, silly. But if we take an honest look, I think, if we take an honest look at how the world works around us, if we take an honest look at the pace and the rhythm and the structure and the calendars of our own lives, it's not all that far off. It's not all that far off. Our lives oftentimes look like this, and we somehow think this is what we're maybe supposed to be all about. And I understand. I understand why this happens. I understand the temptation. I understand the natural tendency to just keep your foot on the pedal. Trust me, I get that. I get the tendency to feel like you can't stop. Ask my wife, Erica, how easy it is for me to turn off my church planting or church, leading brain. Right? When you're trying to grow a church from nothing into something, you're trying to work hard week in and week out to create a different kind of church experience than people have ever had before, experience that catches people's attention in a new way. And then while you're simultaneously trying to launch a youth group and start small groups that meets everybody's needs and preferences and schedules and trying to reach out into the community and meet all the needs of everybody around you, and to do that all with a group of people who are largely volunteering their time, it's not easy. Easy for me to feel like I can just press pause. It's not always easy for me to feel like I can choose to run at any other speed other than full speed. And so I understand that tendency to feel like I cannot let up. When you feel like you've been called to something really important, when you feel like you've been called to something that really matters and that's really important to you, it's not all that easy to not give all that you have all the time. And I know I'm not the only one. I know that God has called all of you, each of you, to something pretty big. There's a room full of people who collectively, man, I think we've got a whole lot of influence. This room is full of people who I believe God has called and equipped to do some incredible things as moms and dads, as grandparents, as godparents, as community leaders, teachers, as nurses, professionals, business leaders, mentors, friends, board members maybe, and the list goes on, right? These are some high callings that God has placed on our lives, and they come with some significant responsibilities. These are important places that God has positioned us. You're important places that God has positioned you. And I know at times it feels like you gotta keep grinding. I know those responsibilities make you feel like at times that you can't stop if you're gonna make it all happen. Now here's the thing. I really do believe that we can make some of this stuff happen in really incredible ways, but I think there's a hidden component to it. I think there is absolutely a way for us to knock some of these God-given assignments out of the park. But I think there's a hidden component to it. I think there's a secret ingredient for how we get, maybe what we might call the results that we desire. It's something that I think most of us miss, or something that we don't ever really take too serious. And I think we see that secret ingredient tucked into the words that Jesus actually did have to say, right? Sometimes in order for us to know what Jesus did say, we have to know what he didn't say. And so I think when we look now, we see the secret ingredient tucked into the words that Jesus did actually have to say to some of those that he gave the largest of responsibilities. And I want us to see what he said to them, because he's given them, as we're going to see, he's given them some pretty tall orders. And when they're right in the middle of it all, carrying it all out, knocking it out of the park, he says something to them that I think most of us need to hear. And so that's what I want us to hear this morning. First, though, a bit of context. Let me just try to provide a little bit of context and background for what's happening here. Jesus, in this moment, he's preaching in the synagogue in his hometown. Okay, where he grew up. And people are amazed at his teaching, the Bible says, but they're skeptical about who he is. They're like, wait a second, isn't he a carpenter? Isn't that Mary's boy? They're going, wait a second, we know his brothers, don't we? And they're going, his sisters live here in town. They're going, he's a townie, right? Certainly there can't be anything special about this guy. So they're amazed, but they're also kind of offended And they refuse to believe in him. And so that's what prompts, a little side note here, that's what prompts one of Jesus's kind of most well-known statements when he says, even a prophet is rejected in his hometown. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe. And so Jesus is confronted with their unbelief, and he recognizes that his influence there is going to be limited. But he knows that he still has a job to do. And so he takes his show on the road, and he gets his disciples, his 12 closest guys, his 12 closest followers, he gets them in on the action. And so that's where we're going to drop into this story in the book of Mark. This is Mark's letter from these days. This, the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Here's what it says. Then Jesus went from village to village teaching the people, and he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. One writer called this the deputizing of his disciples. I like that. Picture this. Jesus, handing out little heavenly sheriff stars to his disciples, sending them out with all the power and all the authority that he possessed. Except it wasn't just the power and authority represented in a badge, but it was power and it was authority that God had given him and God had given them to teach and to heal and to save and to drive out demons. I don't know about you, but of all the assignments to be given, this one seems like a biggie, right? Of all the responsibilities to bear, of all the things to be called to, this seems like a pretty big one. This seems almost like it's about as important as it gets, preaching the good news of Jesus to an unbelieving world and performing miracles, unthinkable miracles, in front of people who are filled with doubt and disbelief. This is a pretty high calling. And so Jesus gives them a few instructions for how they're supposed to carry out this work. And then we get down to verses 12 and 13, and it says this. So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins, which just means to turn from their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons, and they healed many sick people, anointing them with oil. They're knocking it out of the park. That they're making it happen, they're getting it done, they're all, posting hashtag getting after it on their Twitter feeds, right? Making their master proud. But here's the deal, it ain't easy work. It's not easy work. The deck actually is quite stacked against them. People don't want to believe what it is that they're up to. The spiritual climate, the spiritual landscape, if you will, at the time, it is not in their favor. When you read this, part of Mark's letter kind of in order, what you see is this, that they're sent out on this mission at the very same time. I think this is significant. That they're sent out on this mission at the very same time that news is spreading that this guy named John the Baptist, he was one who was out paving the way for Jesus to come. The news is spreading as they go out that John the Baptist was just beheaded because he was on the very same kind of mission. So that just gives you a sense of how high the stakes were and how huge this assignment really was and how huge this calling really was. It was big stuff. Here's what happens next. We skip down to verse 30, and it says this. The apostles returned to Jesus. He sends them out with all the authority. And then it says, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour, and they told him all that they had done. They told him all that they had taught. And then we get to verse 31, and Jesus said this. Take a look. He said, well done, my good and faithful servants, but don't stop now. The job ain't finished yet. The devil doesn't get a day off, so neither do you. There's more people to teach. There's more people to heal. There's more spirits to be cast out. So go get back out there and get after it. Hashtag, he said, can't stop, won't stop. Anyone memorize that Bible verse in Sunday school? Just a quick show of hands. I didn't think so. That's because it's from the JNST version of the Bible. Anybody know what version that is? That's the Jesus never said that version. Which, in case you hadn't guessed, is actually not a real version of the Bible. Okay? Just so we're all clear here this morning. I just made it up. so that you could see that Jesus never said that. So I want you to hear what he did say to them. I want you to hear what he did say to these disciples who have been given the greatest assignment and who are working hard against all the odds. They returned and they reported all that they had done, and they're making it happen. And they are getting after it, and they come and report all they had done. And here's the actual verse 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to them, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." Let's go off to a quiet place and rest a while. Let's call a timeout. Let's take a little break. Let's catch our breath a little bit, huh, boys? Here's why he said this. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles, these 12 disciples, his 12 closest guys, that Jesus and his apostles, they didn't even have time to eat. And so they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. Let's go off by ourselves and rest a while. Jesus knew that when his disciples were physically and mentally exhausted, too busy even to take care of their own spiritual needs, they can't even put a meal in their bellies, he knows it's time to withdraw. He knows that it is time to rest and to refocus. He knows it's time to call a timeout. But wasn't their mission pretty important, Sten? Yeah, it was. I think it's the highest calling anyone could ever receive to go out and to do this kind of work. Was their work finished yet, Sten? No, it wasn't. Weren't there more people to teach and more people to heal and more people to save? Yes, there were. Wasn't there more ground to cover in that day with the work that they had been called to do? Yep, absolutely there was more ground to cover. But Jesus knew in that moment that what they really needed most was a time to rest. More work to be done, absolutely. But Jesus knew that they needed a time to rest. Interestingly enough, I mean, I think this only goes to make this point that Jesus knows even more. Interestingly enough, the disciples never actually got that rest. I mean, it says, yeah, so they went off to be alone, to get their rest, but they actually never got that rest. They never got away to be alone. Why? Because they're intercepted by a large, needy crowd of people who wanted to see Jesus, who wanted to be with Jesus. A crowd of 5,000 that come dinner time are getting pretty hungry. And when it was clear that there wouldn't be enough food to feed them all, you'd think that this merry band of brothers who were just sent out two by two, casting out demons, healing sick people, teaching people to turn to God, you think that they'd be the first people to suggest some kind of supernatural intervention. Hey, we got this. We've just been out hitting home runs. We'll take care of this. But they didn't. Instead, they told Jesus, "Send the crowds away. There's not enough food. We can't do this. It's not possible. These guys are spent." They've been given all the authority that Jesus himself had, but they're running on empty, and they're no longer thinking clearly anymore. And I think that's why Jesus said to him what he did. Because he knew that they needed rest. He knew if they were going to accomplish the things that they had been called to accomplish, they were going to need rest and refocusing and recharging with him. He knows they needed a moment to catch their breath. And so he says, "Let's go off by ourselves and rest a while." Man, I wonder how many of us Jesus is pleading for the very same thing. Hey, let's get off by ourselves and rest a bit. Hey, I know you've been running hard. I know you got a lot on your plate. I know you got some big things to accomplish, but maybe you just need to press pause for a second to catch your breath. Jesus understood the importance of rest, and he not only commanded it for others, he not only commanded it for us, but he also modeled it in everything that he did. He understood the relationship between the rest that we need and the results that we might desire in our life, the things that we want to accomplish, to fulfill the missions that we want to fulfill. He understood the relationship between the rest we need and the results that we desire. We see that pattern, that same pattern in his life and in his ministry over and over again. He's teaching in the synagogue, healing the sick, and then immediately after, he goes off the next morning to pray and to be by himself. He feeds these 5,000, which is a story we've kind of been, you know, on either side of in the last couple weeks, but he feeds these 5,000 people, and immediately after, the record that Matthew records, immediately after, it says he goes to the mountainside to be alone and to pray. There's a relationship between the rest and the results, right? For those of you who know this story, what did Jesus do in the final moments before he was crucified? Right in the final hours before he accomplished the one thing that God sent him to do, to die on a cross for you and me, to give up his own life so that you and I could have life, what did he do? He went to the garden to pray, to be alone, to catch his breath, to rest, and to refocus on what God had called him to do. Folks, I think the same is true for us, for each and every one of us here. I think there is a relationship that we see. I think there's a relationship that exists between the rest that we need and the results that we desire. The rest that we need and the things that we've been called to do, the missions that we've been called to complete. And when we look at what Jesus says, what he actually says, and when we look at what Jesus does, here's what I think that we learn. Right? The greater the impact that we want to make, the deeper the breath we may have to take. We want to do some big things. We want to accomplish some big things. The greater the impact that we want to make, the deeper the breath that we may have to take. The further that we want to go, the more often we may have to stop. There's a relationship between the rest that we need and the results that we desire. The greater the impact that we want to make, the deeper the breath that we may have to take. You want to know one of the hardest things? And I'm actually being serious. When I tell this story, you might laugh, but I'm wondering if you want to know one of the hardest things that I've done in the last month. It was this. One of the hardest things that I've done in the last month was skipping church 2 weeks ago. That wasn't particularly the hard part, but here was the hard part. The hardest thing I've done in the past month was skipping church 2 weeks ago and then filming a video to tell you where I was and what I was doing. So I took that Sunday off months ago for a trip that didn't end up happening. Wasn't able to take. And so as that Sunday rolled around, I was still in town. But I already had things covered at church. And so I was like, hey, this is good. But there was this lurking feeling inside of me. Well, I could be there. So maybe I should be there. I could. So maybe I should still be there. Could, so maybe I should. Yeah, Josh is preaching. Yeah, Brian is going to hold down the fort. No problems. No problems at all. I could be there still. Show my face. Shake hands. Kiss babies. I could be there, so maybe I should. I could, so I, I should. Here's what I've been learning about myself. I've been learning a little bit about my Enneagram personality type. For anyone that knows or cares what that is, I'm a 3. Everyone gets a number if you do this deal. I'm a 3 on this chart, which essentially means this. Every number is driven by kind of a basic, need for something. It is driven by a basic desire. It's not inherently a good or bad desire, but it kind of helps you identify that every person type is driven by something, has a need for something. And so as a 3, I have a need to be impressive. I'm kind of driven by a need to perform, to be noticed, to have something to show for myself. I want people to think that I'm a pretty important dude, and I got places to be, and I got people that need me, and I got big things to accomplish, and I'm doing it all so well. So I'm not joking you. It was hard for me. I wanted to do it anyway. It was hard for me to admit that I was just kicking back, putting my feet up, doing nothing nothing that anybody could see or notice or applaud. I could have just gone away and said nothing. I didn't have to tell you. I could have just gone away and said nothing. Let you guess. Well, maybe he's the keynote speaker at some gigantic pastor's conference. Yeah, I bet that's where Pastor Sten is. Could have let you guess. But I didn't want you to guess. I wanted you to know. Why? Because however much, and this is different for everybody, however much you're looking at me, however much I help to set the pace for us around here, I wanted to try to set an example for us that we are not what we produce. We are not how fast we run. Work will go on without us. And as hard as it was for me to tell you that, I wanted to help demonstrate my belief that I knew deep down inside. I wanted to help demonstrate my belief that the greatest impact that I can make here in the months to come, and we're gearing up for what is, I honestly think, is going to be a really exciting fall here at Midcurrent. I did this because I wanted to demonstrate my belief that the greatest impact that I can make here in the months to come and on into the future, it may require me to take some of the deepest breaths that I can take along the way. Big things to accomplish. Great callings to live into might require some of the deepest breaths that I can take along the way. So I took time to rest and to tell you about it. To go fishing with my kids. To give my attention to my family, fully to my family as much as I could. To take as deep a breath I could in anticipation for the great impact that I think God may be preparing for me to make. That the impact that God may be carving out for me to have as a husband, as a dad, as a leader, as a pastor in this community. It was time to rest and to refocus on what God had called me to do. Some of you are on the doorstep of that same type of opportunity. In fact, I'd say most of us, we're constantly on the doorstep of the next opportunity. You're about to start a new year. You're about to start a new school year or a new grade. You're about to start new rhythms in your life, new projects. You're about to start a new job or a new career. You're about to just step into a new role. You're about to become a new parent or grandparent, or you're about to become a new parent or grandparent again. And I think that God is preparing you and equipping you to make a great impact in the world around you. And so let me just ask you, are you making time to take a deep breath? I really do believe that God is calling you and preparing you and equipping you to make a great impact in the places that He has positioned you, preparing you to make a great impact. The question is, are you making time to take a deep breath? Are you taking time to refocus on what God has called you and equipped you to do? Are you taking time to rest? Because there's a relationship between the rest we need and the results that we desire. And it won't look the same for all of us. It won't look the same for every season in our life. It's not going to be the same, but it's got to be something. Maybe that's actually taking a vacation or just taking a day off with your kids and without your laptop. Maybe rest for you is just turning off your phone at 5 p.m. Maybe right now for you, with the place that you're at in life, that's the best step that you could take. Maybe the best way for you right now to be able to refocus on what God has called you to do, shut it off, 5 p.m. Ladies, we just launched the registration site for a women's retreat here that is actually called Breathe. It's time for you to get away, to rest, to recharge, to refocus on what God has called you to do. It's September 27th to 29th. We can tell you all about it at the welcome desk this morning. Maybe that's for you. Maybe that's what you need right now with this crew of women at this church. Maybe rest for you is a new routine. It's a time and a place, a specific time and a specific place that you retreat. It's just a chair in your living room, or it's a room in your house, or it's a park in your neighborhood, or it's a table in the back corner of a coffee shop. I don't know, but what is it for you? Where is it for you that you will rest and recharge and refocus? Because there's a relationship between the rest we need and the results that we desire. Where is it for you? And the other question I just want to ask before I wrap it up here is this. Do you know what kind of rest you actually need? Because some of you might be in a season right now where you're not that like busy. I mean, you're going like, well, hey, Stan, I mean, I'm not always like flying that full speed ahead. I mean, I'm not that busy. I don't have like that much going on right now. But the real question, and I've had to ask myself this, the real question is not, are you busy or not? But are you actually replenishing? Are you actually recharging? Are you actually refocusing on what God has called you to do? See, I've had seasons in my life where physically, I mean, I haven't been like overworked. The demands of my time haven't been that great, but I finished the end of the day and I'm still exhausted. I'm still drained. Why? Because I didn't know the right things to keep me ready. I didn't realize that there were some right things for me to do to help me stay ready and prepared for what God had called me to do. I realized that periods of inactivity didn't necessarily just translate to periods of productivity. Just saying, hey, I'm not really doing much right now, so I should be ready to go. I realized that's not necessarily how it works. Not all rest is replenishing. It's got to be rest that refills your tank and refocuses you on what God has called you to do. Refocuses your mind and your heart on God's call for your life. Quiet morning, a book, a prayer, just reading the Bible, a special place for you to get away, a hobby that you just got to carve out time to do, being alone, and that's the best way for you to get rest. Or maybe it's being surrounded by people who recharge your batteries. That might be the most restful thing you can do, is to surround yourself with people who fill you up, who recharge you and help you refocus on what God has called you to do. I don't know what it is for you, but you owe it to yourself to figure it out, and you owe it to yourself to give it a shot. Because God has called each of us to some great things, and God has called each of us to some great places, but I think it might require some of us to take some very, very deep breaths along the way. Because the greater the impact that we want to make in the places that God has called us to, the deeper breath that we may have to take along the way. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks for this morning. And what a gift, God, it is to have your word to us. What a gift it is to actually see and hear and read what it is that Jesus did say to us. So that we don't spend our whole lives off in some other direction thinking we're kind of, you know, doing the things that were meant for us. What a gift, God, to know and to hear what Jesus actually did have to say to us. To know that maybe we're running hard and beating ourselves up all for no reason at all. That we're running so hard and beating ourselves up only to actually not be as productive or to not be fulfilling the things that you've called us to as much as we think we are. So God, thanks for this time we've had here to refocus on you, to recharge, and to refocus our hearts and our minds on what it is that you have called us to do. God, I think you've called each and every person here this morning to something great. It's going to look different for all of us. It's going to look different in different seasons of life. But I think you've put a high calling on our life. And I want us to step into it. I want us to start hitting some home runs with the things that you have called us to do, God. And so would you help us to know? Would you help us to find the time? Would you help us to carve out the space to get the rest that we need? To get the recharging and the refocusing that we need on what it is that you've called us to do. God, help us to do that. And help us to fulfill the things that you've called us to do in ways beyond our imagination. We pray this in your name.